We had a good meeting Friday night there in Illinois with, I guess it was over 100 probably, over 100 pastors and ministers. And I talked to them about the gospel. I'm on the gospel. I'm on it. And where's Dwayne? He can hear me back there, but... Deborah Banks said hi. Dwayne, she's an organ player that we played with years ago for many, many hours. Man, we played sometimes hours at a time at the prayer school, faith school, and she was there and played the organ. So that was nice. Go with me, if you would, to scripture that we began a few weeks ago when I was with you. Man, I heard good things about the word that Phyllis brought. No, not surprised. 1 John, the fourth chapter is our text. 1 John 4. And we just prayed a prayer. So are you believing with me? For up, please. Utterance. Some of these things I haven't ministered on before. I haven't taught before. And so... We're looking to the Lord, obviously. 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1. He said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. So, our title of our series is Try the Spirits. The word try means test. Test the spirits. And to what end? Read the text. Whether they are of God or not. Then he says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, and this shows you the human connection to the spirit. The human connection to the wrong spirit. A wrong spirit influencing, speaking through a false prophet. And we are cautioned about these things. And we are told to test them. Test them. Too many church-going people are too gullible. They just believe everything they hear. And that's a giant mistake. And what we need to understand is that the devil is very subtle, crafty, tricky. The scripture says that he transforms himself into a messenger of light. The devil does not come as the devil. He passes himself off as a messenger from God. This is his MO, how he operates. And so his messengers, those he's influencing, are passing themselves off as ministers of righteousness, the scripture says, as ministers of the Lord. So just because something looks and sounds churchy and people quote scriptures does not mean it's God.
That's right. That's good.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Just because something's religious and we are told to do what?
Test.
Test it. Test it. The word's also translated examine. Examine it. Test it. Try it. Judge it. So I thought you weren't supposed to judge people.
Yeah, that's right.
You are to judge messages, doctrine, manifestations.
Yes, sir.
You're not to judge a person's heart because you don't know their heart. But you can judge whether something is the Word or not, whether something is the Holy Spirit or not. Y'all okay with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, there are reasons why we're talking about these things. I don't believe I just decided to teach on this at random. There's a lot of good things in the Word we could be talking about. Why this? Why now? Well, I believe we'll see the further we go, but I've already got some notes on how to test. Are you interested in that at all?
Yeah.
How to examine it, how to test it. I don't think we'll get to that today, so you're going to need to come back. But we're talking about today why you need to test it. We're still talking about that. And the Scripture tells us to test it. Try it. Let's keep reading. Read down a little bit further. He said, this is how you know the Spirit of God. These are one of the tests that you use to see whether it's God or whether it's not. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, you need to go back to the previous verse. The spirits that he's talking about trying are not operating independently. They're operating through people. False prophets. Everybody who says they're a prophet is not a true prophet. They can be a false prophet. Y'all okay with this?
Yes,
everybody that says they're an apostle. Or, you know what I'm saying? There is the real, but the enemy is always trying to pervert and try to duplicate and twist the real with the false. And we're told that we are to examine it and test it and try it, whether it is the real or whether it's the false, the true or the false, whether it's God or it's the enemy. And these are spiritual things. Here's another very big thing. Just because it's spiritual and just because it's real doesn't make it God. Are y'all with me? And this has fooled a lot of people because they thought, well, I know it's real. Yeah, but it doesn't make it God. And it's spiritual and real, but not God. And that's been confusing to some folks because they thought, well, man, if it's spiritual, they just accept it. Or supernatural. Right? Well, no. There's an enemy. There is the false. There are wrong spirits. Now, here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we are, though we're in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they're not natural, they're not physical, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imaginations, thoughts come from somewhere. Are y'all with me, everybody? They come from somewhere. And spirits influence these things. A thought is unseen. You can't touch a thought. A thought is not a material, physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And spiritual things have connections with spirits. There are thoughts that are from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Holy thoughts. The thoughts of God. And His thoughts are wonderful. His thoughts are life and peace. Romans 8 tells us. But then there are thoughts from other spirits. All kind of evil influences. Every movie didn't start out as a movie. It started out as a script. Well, who inspired the script? Where did the thoughts come from? Every book didn't start out as a printed book. Every song. All of these things are influenced by spirits. By spirits. And we're told that we're to be on our guard, watching and examining. When a thought comes, you're supposed to go, hold on now. Where'd that come from? Right?
Yes, sir.
When feelings come. Feelings. See, feelings affect the physical, emotions and feelings, but they're not physical. So where'd they come from? You see, it's sad that the church has been so ignorant of these things, especially younger people. You know, they're bopping along, having a good day, and all at once, feelings of depression and sadness come on them. And they don't know why, and they go, I don't know. I was just doing so good, and now I feel so bad, and I don't know why. And they just yield to it. No, that came from somewhere. Where did it come from? If it didn't come from God, you better resist it.
Yeah.
You better put it on the run and say, no, get out of here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You do not yield to every thought.
Yes, sir.
You do not yield to every feeling. There are some things you should receive and think on and talk about, the things of God. And there are a lot of things you should shut down. You should resist. You should refuse to think about, refuse to talk about, refuse to yield to. Test it. Examine it. Judge it. Try it. Hallelujah. So the Weiss translation, let me read that in verse 1. The Weiss translation, if we have it, I'll read it to you. It says, stop believing every spirit, but put the spirits to the test to see whether they are of God. To see. 1 Thessalonians, put that on the screen for us, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice when? All the time. He gives statements, about five of them in a row here. And these are ways to live. This covers a lot of ground. What do you do all the time?
Rejoice.
What else do you do? Next verse.
Pray.
You pray when? All the time. And then what else do you do? In everything, give thanks when? All the time. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How's the way for a real Christian to live? You rejoice all the time. You pray all the time. You give thanks all the time. That's just how you live.
Yeah, that's good.
I said, that's how you live. Time you open your eyes to the time you lay your head on the pillow, that's how you live. What are we doing? We're thanking God. We're rejoicing. We're praying. That's how we live. He said in verse 19, quench not the spirit. Now, there are spirits that need to be quenched. Quench means to smother. Smother it. Put it out. But not the Holy Spirit. Don't quench Him. Now that means, that also reveals, He's not going to make you do anything. If you want to shut Him down and His dealings with you, you can. You can quench what He's trying to deal with you about. You can suppress it. You can ignore it. But that's a foolish thing to do. Said out loud, I won't quench the Spirit. And then He goes on to say, despise not prophesying. Now see, this goes together. If somebody is speaking by the Spirit of God, that's an inspired utterance in a known tongue. That's prophecy. And so here's why you shouldn't despise prophecies just as a general thing, because it could be God. And you wind up despising something that's God. But that doesn't mean you accept every prophecy. Notice the next verse. Prove all things. That's that same word. Test everything. And then hold fast that which is good. Well, that means not all of it is going to be good. Right? There's going to be some prophecies that you're going to decide, that's not God. That's just them. or worse, inspired by a wrong spirit. So prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Romans 12 says a similar thing. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that what? So that you may prove. Same thing. Test what's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why? Because there's a lot of stuff that's not the will of God. There's a lot of things that's not good and acceptable. And so, like I said, we're going to get into some detail later on, practical application. How do I test it? But just being aware that you need to test it is beyond most Christians.
Yeah, that's right.
It is.
Yes, sir.
I mean, most church-going people, if a thought comes to them, they will just think it, not even examine where it might have come from. If feelings come to them, they just yield to them, not even examine where it may have come from. The enemy wants you to believe that everything comes from you. Originates in you and from you, and it's just you. No. No. There's a lot of wrong spirits around. And they operate, you know, in the unseen, in the thought realm, the feeling realm, these kind of things. And you and I need to be on the watch, on the guard. I was teaching on some of these things some years ago at a place, and a fellow came up to me after the service. He said, Brother Keith, I know what you're talking about. He said, every mind needs a bouncer at the door. Maybe he'd spent some time in the club. I don't know. But he's right. I said, you're right. You're right. Every mind needs a bouncer. What does that mean? Thoughts come to your mind. Feelings come to you. You should look through the peep going, no, hold on. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Huh? And then you look on the list. Philippians says, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. So that's the only things you're supposed to think on. So you look and see if it's on the list. Huh? True. You ain't true. Uh-uh. No, you're not on the list. You cannot come in. Ugly. No, I can't let ugly in. Ugly is not on the list. Right? Ugly thoughts? Ugly feelings? If it's not true? If it's not good? If it's not right? We're supposed to be on our guard. And, this is something that goes on all the time. Right? All your waking hours, you got to be on the watch. Where'd that come from? Where did that thought come from? Where did that feeling come from? Where did it come from? And so many of them, you should shut down, like the scripture said, casting down. You grab it, you slam it.
Yeah.
Huh? Droom. Bam.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it comes back, grab it, slam it.
Yeah. That's right.
Cast it. Cast is a strong word. It means throw. Throw down. Throw down. Go to Matthew 24, please. I believe I have some insight, spiritual insight into some of what we're talking about. And Matthew 24 talks about the last days. The disciples had asked Jesus three questions, and it had to do with the Lord's coming. It had to do with the last days. And verse 4, Matthew 24:4, we won't go through all of it, but Jesus started his answer with this: take heed that no man deceive you. That's what he started with. This, he's saying, he's answering about the end times. and the culmination of things and the finishing of things. And the first thing he says is, don't let anybody trick you. Don't let anybody deceive you. Now, this is the same thing we're talking about. Try the spirits, whether they're of God. What kind of spirits are wrong spirits, evil spirits, bad spirits? Well, they're lying spirits.
Yeah, that's right.
They're deceiving spirits. That's one of their main things that they do, is deceive. The truth will do what for you? It'll make you free. Well, what will lies do to you? Lies will blind you, and lies will bind you. The truth lets you see, and the truth makes you free. So these wrong spirits, Jesus is warning us about. Now, would he warn us about something that's not an issue? And have you read the scriptures? How many times the scripture talks about don't be deceived. Beware. Don't let any man beguile you or mislead you. Let me just read a couple of them to remind you. Everybody say, don't be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
Don't be deceived. Mark 13, don't try to turn to these. Keep your place in Matthew 24, please. I'm just going to read some of these. Matthew 13, Jesus said, take heed lest any man deceive you. Luke 21, take heed that you won't be deceived. 1 Corinthians 15, don't be deceived. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, don't be deceived. Galatians 6, 7, don't be deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13 said, in the last days, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is one of the greatest threats against us. This is one of the greatest dangers that we need to be aware of. Is what?
Being deceived.
Now, here's the thing. If you're deceived, do you know you're deceived?
No.
No. If you knew it, you wouldn't be deceived. What is deceived? Deceived is believing that a lie is true. And that's one thing you need to remember about, there's a lot of folks in the world, you look at what they believe and the things they do, and you think, how can they believe that? What? How can they act like that? Why can't they see that's not true and that's not right? They're deceived. Some of them actually believe, they completely believe that these lies are true. And the thing is, you and I are not immune to this. These evil spirits have been around for thousands of years. They are expert at fooling human beings. Don't think just because you're smart or whatever that you can be, protected from that. The only way you and I would have an advantage is by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. Hallelujah. By staying close to Him, listening to Him, He can help us not to be deceived. Otherwise, you will be. You'll be sucked into believing lies just like most of the world. Say it out loud, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Proverbs 14 talks about this. Put this on the screen for us. Proverbs 14:15. 14:15, Proverbs says, the simple believe what?
Every word.
But the prudent man looks well to his going. The Amplified says it like this. The Amplified says, the simpleton believes every word he hears. But the prudent man looks and considers well where he's going. New Century, the NCV, the New Century says, fools will believe anything. But the wise think about what they do. Verse 16, wise people are careful and stay out of trouble, but fools are careless and quick to act. God's Word Translation. God's Word Translation, verse 15, a gullible person believes anything, but a sensible person watches his step. A wise person is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is careless and overconfident. A fool will say, I don't need to check that out. Oh, yeah, I know, you know, and not even examine it, not even try it, like they have some superior discerning and that kind of thing. And these are people that are easily fooled, easily duped. Don't believe, have you ever heard this before?
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear, including from preachers. Including from so-called prophets, prophetesses, apostles. Are y'all with me or not? What should you do?
Test it.
Don't start off despising. Right? The Lord already told us don't do that. Why? Because it could be God. Right? You don't want to despise something that's God. But that doesn't mean you just swallow it because somebody said, thus saith the Lord, and I'm a prophet. That doesn't mean you just believe it. You're thinking, well, maybe you is and maybe you ain't. We'll see. Right? I'm serious. Including me. Anybody. You should listen. And you should be checking things against the written word of God. And against the Holy Spirit inside you. Right? Checking. 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 Because the enemy is, he's tricky in this. Now in Matthew 24, let's continue. Matthew 24. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. So pray it out loud and say, Lord, I want to heed your words. Open my eyes, my ears, my heart, my mind to discern things and test things and examine things and not let anybody deceive me. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep going. He said, for many will come in my name saying I am Christ. And what will the result be? Many will be deceived. It's going to happen. The Lord's already said it. It's going to happen. Many will be deceived. He said, skip down to verse 11. Many false prophets shall arise. Not a couple. Many. And what will be the result? Many. Not a few, will be deceived. It'll be by the grace of God that we're not. Because he said, a lot of people are going to be tricked. A lot of people are going to be deceived. He said in verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 23, if any man will say to you, lo, here is Christ. Now, Christ means anointed one. Here's the anointed one. He said, don't believe it. Do not believe it. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. These are not physical manifestations. These are spiritual manifestations of what we'd call miraculous things. Supernatural miraculous things. You can begin to see why so many people are going to be deceived. Right? Because they'll say, it was a miracle. Doesn't make it God. Church, are y'all with me or not? Yeah, but it was a miracle. Doesn't make it God. It was a sign and a wonder. Doesn't make it God. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, what I've mentioned before is I believe I have some insight. I have prayed different times over the years, asking the Lord for greater manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Anybody besides me?
Yes, sir.
You prayed these things. Lord, we prayed the prayer in the book of Acts. Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal and to do signs and wonders.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Miracles. I've prayed it and asked it and prayed it in faith and prayed in tongues about it. I've prayed and said, Lord, give us an increased and a full manifestation of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. See, these are spiritual, supernatural things. And of workings of miracles and special faith and gifts of healings and prophecy and different kinds of tongues and different kinds of interpretation. Give us the full manifestation of these things. And I have a witness in my heart. The Lord has heard our prayers.
Yes, sir.
He has heard our prayers.
Yes,
my prayers, your prayers,
yes.
Many have prayed prayers like this. Across the country, other countries, over the years. And a lot of these things don't happen in a year or two. There are seasons for things. And I believe we are coming into a time where we will see the answering of these prayers, and we will see more signs, more wonders. Now, this is big stuff. Do you know God could do one sign in our community, and you couldn't get the people in the church the next Sunday? There are things He can do. Just one sign, one wonder, and I'm telling you, it'd move whole communities. It'd move whole areas. It'd move whole cities. But you'll see that when there was a greater manifestation of the things of God, there was also a greater manifestation of evil. And I'm talking about supernatural evil. And any time that God's doing something, you can be sure the enemy will try to hijack it. He will try to come in and duplicate it and mimic it to mislead, to deceive. And so why is the Lord talking to us about these things? There's an excitement here. Oh, that was a little weak. I'm looking back. Huh?
Yes.
And there's also a caution. Why? Because a lot of people, they believe in the miraculous on paper. But when it starts happening, it scares a lot of people. And folks don't understand it. And then, like we said, the enemy will try to mimic and mislead. What's the title of our series?
Try
the Spirits. Hallelujah. Notice what he said. He said, false Christs and false prophets will arise. And these are individuals that are motivated, influenced, speaking, acting by wrong spirits. If they were just doing stuff in the flesh, it wouldn't make a big, it wouldn't draw big crowds, it wouldn't get all this attention. No, these are supernatural things that's going on, and they will show great signs and wonders. These are not little nothing things. These are supernatural manifestations. And in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is how effective they are. That without God's help, you'd be sucked in as well. Because you'd say, well, hey, it's a miracle. Doesn't make it God. Yeah, but they knew things that nobody could know. Doesn't make it God. Have you ever heard of familiar spirits? Why would they be called familiar spirits? They're familiar with individuals that they hung around, that these people yielded to them in their lifetime. And so certainly, they're going to know things about them, intimate things about them, that nobody else would know. And if people are yielding to wrong spirits, it seemed like a word of knowledge. Because it was definitely something nobody else could know. It was supernatural, but doesn't make it God. Doesn't make it God. Just because somebody knows something. Y'all are quiet. Brother Hagin said, Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he said years ago in his ministry that a person was telling him about this prophet that had come and was had everybody's attention. And one of the pastors pulled him aside and said, I know that there are these supernatural things that he could not know. He said, but he cornered me last night and told me that he saw by the Spirit that in our jewelry box was an important diamond, and that the Lord had dealt with him, the pastor, to give it to him. Really? So we said, well, it had to be God, because nobody knew that it was. No. There are other spirits beside the Holy Spirit. Right?
That's good.
And the Holy Spirit is not just prophesying money out of your pocket into theirs. And yet, it could be something that nobody else knew.
Yeah.
That's the thing that confuses people.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like, well, it had to be God. No, it didn't have to be God. Are we reading the scriptures here? That signs, great signs and wonders are going to be done by false Christs and false prophets, and that if it were possible would deceive the very elect. That's us. Behold, I have told you before, Jesus said. Should we take these warnings seriously? When the Lord said, now look, I told you. Right? I told you about this. Wherefore, if they say to you, behold, he's in the desert, the anointed one. Don't go out there. Behold, the anointed one's in the secret chambers. He said, don't you believe it. Don't believe it. Don't run after him. Don't do it. Go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Second Thessalonians 2 and 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. Now, we have seen that already, what, 8, 9 times? Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there come a falling away first. In verse 9, he talks about even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. With what? All power and signs and what?
Lying
wonders. Lying wonders. We want signs and wonders, but not lying. Right? Not lying wonders. No. We don't just want supernatural manifestations. We want the manifestations of God, of the Holy. Oh, somebody say holy.
Holy.
Not just spirits, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's all we want, is the Holy Spirit. Because see, there's some folks, they'll push after any kind of spiritual manifestation. They just want spiritual experiences. And you do that hard enough, you open yourself up to wrong things. No, you don't just want spiritual experiences. No, you want experience with God, the Holy Spirit. Lying wonders. the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. This is one of your biggest safeties, that you love the truth. Come on, y'all with me. You love the truth. There are people who love what they want more than they love the truth. And that makes them deceivable. Of course, His Word is truth. Right? And the more you love the truth, the more you love the Word, the harder you are to deceive. I want to hear you say it out loud, I love the truth. I love the Word of truth. I love the Spirit of truth. I love the God of truth. I love the truth. You love the truth. And what if the truth shows you up and shows a problem in your life and makes you look bad? Well, I love the truth. It's just time to repent. Is that right? It's time to make a change and get it right. But I love the truth more than I love what you might think about me or any of that. That's what we're talking about. Because these other things, if you don't love the truth above all those things, you're easy to trick. Easy to deceive. And of course, the more ignorant you are of the truth, the more vulnerable you are to being deceived. I want to hear you say it one more time. I love the truth. I love the truth. Revelation 13. Revelation 13 and 13. Talks about something. John saw this in the Spirit. This is coming. Which what we're about to read, it will happen. It's already been foretold, prophesied. He said that this wrong entity, he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And verse 14, what's the result? And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of what? Those miracles that he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying that they that dwell on the earth should make an image to the beast that had the wound by the sword and did live. This shows you how, what we talk about the mark of the beast, this is how it's going to happen. How could whole populations be convinced and moved into this? Because this individual is going to be able to call for fire and lightning out of the sky, and signs and wonders that are unmistakably supernatural and miraculous. But they're not God. They're lying signs and wonders. And he goes on to say, verse 15, that they cause as many as would not worship the image of beast should be killed. And he caused both small and great, rich, poor, free, bond to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, when John saw this, I'm sure people that heard it would think, that's crazy. That's nuts. Why? We're there at biometric security. Because paper money is not secure. Plastic cards are not secure. The next thing is bio stuff. And it's already happening that you go into a store and they scan your face and they already know your purchase history and all this kind of stuff. And if you've got some kind of mark, then you don't need money. You don't need a card. You don't need any of that. It just makes sense. But just say no. Just to the mark. Well, how are we going to eat and buy and sell? The Lord will help. Right? That's a whole other thing. But How could you move whole populations to do this? Lying, signs, and wonders. We are in the information age, and we are in intellectual emphasis. The world has not always been that way. And so you'll find when there's more emphasis on the intellectual, you see less emphasis on the supernatural. And the less people believe in it, the less you have of it, good or bad. But then the whole thing can swing to the other way. It doesn't take too many manifestations until everybody begins to accept the idea that these things are real. And then when people's acceptance and faith in the supernatural begins to rise, oh my, you begin to see it happen on both sides. Go with me, if you would, back to the book of Exodus. You got time for this? Or I don't believe this is just my idea to talk about this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Exodus, let me see. Yeah, Exodus, the 7th chapter. When God answered the prayers and the cries of his people to bring them out of Egyptian slavery, he did it by signs and wonders. You remember that? The whole thing began with a supernatural sign, the burning bush. That was how their deliverance began. Moses was on the backside of the desert, and he sees a bush burning, but not burning. I mean, the leaves and nothing on it were charred, and yet it's burning. This is not natural. So he goes over to see what it is. And God speaks to him out of the fire. And gives him two signs. Wonders. Right? Any y'all looking at me strange? Am I quoting the Bible?
Yes, sir.
What were the two signs? One, he told him to put his hand inside his robe and pull it out, and it was leprous, which was an incurable disease. Just like that. He said, all right, put it back. He put it back in, take it out, clean, healthy. Now I realize there are people that don't believe this. So they don't believe the Bible. And they don't believe in miracles. And a lot of them go further. They don't believe in the virgin birth. That Jesus was conceived without a human father. And they don't believe that he died and was raised from the dead physically. And if you don't believe that, you're not saved. You're lost. Fact. I can quote you 8 scriptures that say so. If you don't believe in God, and God is spirit, he's not material. He's spirit. Spirit existed before this.
Yeah, that's right.
And will exist after this. This is temporary, the scripture says. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And some of these things sound like magic. But if you understood it, God can give you the science of it. It's not magic. Even those who study these things see a correlation between energy and matter. That matter, physical things, are made up of energy. And one can go back and forth between the other, and seen and unseen. It's just a matter of human beings being so ignorant of and not understanding what's going on around them. But he gave him that one sign. Then he gave him the other sign. Anybody remember what that was? His staff. Right? Told him to throw his staff down. And it became a snake. Now people will say, that's crazy. That's like, oh, what are these magic shows and movies that's, huh? Whatever. That's crazy. That didn't happen. You're saying the Bible didn't happen. You can't have it both ways.
Right?
And God split the Red Sea. Right? They went over on dry ground. And the Bible said the water was a congealed wall on both sides. He rained manna out of the sky. Right? Well, if God created the planet, if he created matter, I reckon he can do things. What do you think? So how did he do that? It's okay to say how did he do it, but don't be dumb and say he couldn't do it. How would you know what he could and couldn't do? He made you. Right? And think about this. He's going to change this body into incorruptible, immortal. Soon and very soon, we're going to be changed on a spiritual and molecular level so that this physical body is no longer subject to any decay or aging. Do you believe that or not? How do you explain that? How does that happen? So, look at the 7th chapter and the 10th verse. And I'm closing, I think. Moses and Aaron went, this is Exodus 7:10. Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord commanded them. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Did it happen or not?
Yes.
That's a sign. It sure make you wonder. Right? You'd look at that and go, that was just a stick. And there it is. You go, whew, what is happening here? Verse 11, Pharaoh called the wise men and sorcerers and magicians of Egypt, and they did in like manner with their enchantments. Huh? Say what? They threw down their staffs and they became snakes too. Now, one reason I'm talking about this, as you talk about it, your average person in today's society, they go, that's crazy. No, that didn't happen. That's some kind of myth. Well, that's just because you are so limited in your experience and understanding of what you are and what's even going on.
Yeah.
No. Spiritual things have always existed. And at this time, the people in Egypt and the people in this area, they believed in spiritual things. They knew it was real. And so they advanced and developed in it, in yielding to these wrong things. But they cast down there, every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and they lost their stick. And that should have been a warning. Is that right? That you cannot match with God's anointed. Huh? Oh, yeah, you can do some stuff, but you cannot hang with God's anointed. You cannot. And yet, they did. In the 8th chapter, they weren't done. In the 8th chapter and the 6th verse, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The Bible said they had frogs everywhere. They had frogs in the bed, frogs in the cupboard, frogs in the oven, frogs. Don't you know that was nasty? And so what do you need when you got too many frogs?
More frogs.
Verse 7, the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs. Oh boy, more frogs on the land of Egypt. Notice. They couldn't get rid of them.
That's good.
Huh? They couldn't bring deliverance. They couldn't bring healing. They couldn't bring life. They couldn't bring restoration. All they can do is make it worse. Is that right? More frogs. So before you start thinking, well, hey, maybe I'll check into some of these dark arts and see if I can learn some things. Well, you know what you're going to wind up with? More frogs. Verse 17. They did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth. It became lice. And the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they couldn't do it. And then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. We can't go any further. We can't hang with them. But there were supernatural signs. Right? By wrong spirits and evil things. We want to see this world shaken by the power of God. Do we?
Yes.
God's the only one who knows how to do things this way.
That's right.
This involves so many things that's above our understanding and above our pay grade, if you will. Yeah. But you'll see, just like in Egypt, when they saw the signs and wonders by the hand of God, they also saw signs and wonders by evil spirits and wrong things. That whole generation had come to a place where they believed in the spirit realm. They believed in the supernatural, and faith for it was common, good and bad. And so in the last days, it's prophesied that there would be signs and wonders. Have you read the book of Joel? God will pour out his spirit. Is that right? On all flesh. There'll be signs. There'll be wonders, smoke, fire. There'll be any number of things. And we want this. We desire this because this will grab and shake the attention of people everywhere. But we will need the discerning of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And there will be those prophesying, and there will be those ministering miraculous things. But we should not believe everything we hear. We should not swallow everything that comes along. We should not follow after everything that comes along. Because the Lord kept saying, don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody deceive you. And I think we should be getting ready right now. Don't you think? Including and improving in our knowledge of truth and the things that will make us safe and make us not easy to deceive. Do you believe God's working this in our life? Stand up on your feet and let's release faith. And we're going to take communion over this today. And it's by the blood that we are clean and kept and protected. It's by the body that we are restored and healed. And so we're going to honor this today and give thanks. Hallelujah. Pray it out loud. Father God, you are my God, my only God. I'm not just seeking after the supernatural. I seek you. I'm not just seeking spiritual things. I seek you. Thank you for working in us. Fill us with the knowledge of your will to discern between right and wrong, good and evil, your Holy Spirit and wrong spirits. Thank you for keeping us safe. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, ushers, go ahead and come, and you can be seated again for a moment, and just keep your eyes open till you're served, and let's honor the Lord.